NPR.
Last week in New York City, we had a mini heat wave, like classic ice cream cone, drippy, sticky fingers kind of summer nights. And normally this weather would mean big business for movie theaters because you would go sit in the air conditioning and have a big soda with lots of ice.
Oh, yes. Just yes. And it would be like way too cold, but it would feel so good. Of course, after a really rough year when a lot of theaters were forced to close, many will never open again. Some are just opening back up. And they have a lot of restrictions in place. So, Sally, you stopped by The Nighthawk, a small independent theater in Brooklyn, and you asked how things were going.
Great. Do you guys have your tickets purchased already? All you need is that confirmation email you got there.
People were wearing masks, but at the same time, it felt pretty normal inside. Madison Cuevas was in the lobby with her dad, Raymond, and they were there to celebrate her 9th birthday. She was dressed like a tiny birthday queen in pink shorts with furry slippers and this giant birthday sash.
Oh, my God. I've been doing birthdays wrong for years.
I know.
Sparkles.
Lots and lots of sparkles.
And to celebrate, she and her dad are there to see Conjuring 3, which, FYI, in case you didn't know, is a horror film.
It is, which that's what she's into.
Here's a clip from the trailer.
We think this family was cursed.
By reason of demonic possession.
I am not going. Okay, that sounds terrifying. But Madison, she's not fazed. She has a plan.
If people are in there, people in the movie theater, there's a monster in there, could get them instead of me first, and I have time to run.
But in order for Madison's very well thought out plan to work, theaters are going to need to sell a lot more tickets. I'm Sally Herships.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. Last year, movie ticket sales were decimated, down by 80%. On today's show, we look at the challenges the movie theater industry is facing, the ones they've been facing for a long time, and how a lot of those have been made a lot worse by the terrifying monster that was and is the pandemic.
I'm going to go to shop.npr.org/planetmoney. What we've got for sale here is a t-shirt, a sticker, the patch from when we sent a satellite to space, a bunch of Planet Money stuff for sale at shop.npr.org/planetmoney for all of the Planet Money lovers in your life.
One of the big, highly anticipated movies this summer is Black Widow. It was supposed to come out last spring, but you know, the pandemic. About 80 major releases like Black Widow were held back, but at least the movie is here now. Scarlett Johansson plays a superhero in the Marvel Universe.
Before I was an Avenger, I made mistakes. And a lot of enemies.
This movie has it all. You've got KGB, Russia, helicopters, giant explosions, and of course, Scarlett Johansson in like a patent leather catsuit. What more could a person want, Sally? In a normal year, a successful Marvel film can take in hundreds of millions of dollars, close to a billion even, at the box office. But even in a normal year, movie theaters need more than just one blockbuster to succeed. Patrick Corcoran is vice president of the National Association of Theater Owners.
The last thing we ever want to do is say to an audience, I'm sorry, we don't have what you want here.
Imagine that the movie-going audience is a pie. They're big slices that represent blockbusters, but they're all these smaller slices, which represent ticket sales for smaller films. And if you put them on a plate together, it is a lot of pie. And that's one of the challenges theater owners face. They have to cater to all these different groups, and a lot of these groups break down by age and the amount of free time they have. And Patrick says there's a whole life cycle of the American moviegoer, and it begins with teenagers going to the movies.
It's a place to go. It's safe. You can go on sort of a date and not actually have to talk to the person. And now you've also got a topic that after the movie you can talk about, right? Instead of being the awkward teenager that you are.
Fun fact, one of my first real dates was going to see Species. It went very well. Okay, anyway, then you get into your 20s. You still want a social life, but maybe you're also going to school. You've got bills, so you go to the movies less. Then you get older. You might have kids of your own, and your ticket buying might drop off even more. And then when your kids are old enough, you might start going back to the movies again. This time maybe to see Disney films or children's movies or movies about demonic possession that your precocious 9-year-old wants to see.
It tails off again as you become sort of old and tired. Let's see, like me, you know?
Yeah, I'm me.
So people just do it less. And also, you've seen a lot of stuff, right? So it takes something special to get you to go. It's like I'm sitting here in my comfy chair and I don't want to move.
Patrick says older audiences tend to be more interested in dramas and comedies, story, as opposed to spectacle. Also, it's going to take a lot to get me out of my comfy chair.
Same.
So theaters have this big problem. They're constantly having to try to assess what different kinds of movies they think are going to lure in all of these different groups of theater goers.
The next specific challenge the theater industry faces is marketing. And the pandemic really messed that up. Because unlike other products, a film has to be marketed at the same time everywhere. I mean, it didn't matter if Colorado wasn't in lockdown and their theaters could be open. There were no movies for Colorado until most states and their theaters were all open as well. And here's another thing Patrick points out.
The marketing campaign is the biggest part of that. It's very expensive to market these movies.
Making a movie can easily cost $50 or $100 million, so there's all of this pressure to recoup that investment. So production companies spend on ad space, on TV and social media, billboards, red carpet events, publicity.
And word of mouth. That is a big part of selling tickets. If a movie does well in the States, you might not have to spend as much like in Italy. Word spreads. So that's why marketing campaign for a film has to be done all at once. It'd be really expensive to publicize your movie in the U.S. and then have to do the whole thing over 3 months later in Rome.
And as all these major releases planned for last year started getting held back by studios, that created another problem. Because if you're a studio and you've just dropped all of these millions of dollars making, like, Black Widow and also Spider-Man No Way Home, you do not want to risk cannibalizing your own audience. David Hancock is a film industry analyst at Omdia.
So if one moves, you tend to find there's a bit of a sort of a juggling around, saying we have to move that, but if we move that, we've got that one there, so we have to move that. So studios have to look at their slate as a whole. It's quite a complicated game of chess, really.
It feels like planning a menu.
just with 2 years' worth of ingredients.
There are some bright spots. Franchise films, like films in the Marvel Universe. Those films have their own superpowers because fans are so familiar with them, you can save a ton on marketing each time you make a new movie.
What are the advantages of being a superhero is you don't die.
Right? You can keep coming back and selling tickets.
Indeed you can.
Of course, there was another monster lurking before the pandemic hit. Cue the creepy music here because this is a big one. It is streaming. But David says, listen, turn the lights on, look directly at streaming, and it can actually look a little less scary.
I've done this for 26 years now, this job, and the question I'm most asked is, when is cinema dying? When is it dead? But it's not dead. It's still here and it's thriving.
The movie theater industry is growing globally in markets like Asia, Latin America, and Eastern Europe. David says when you add in the losses from advertising and concessions, global theaters stand to lose about $50 billion over the next 2.5 years. And Patrick, with the National Association of Theater Owners, says a big part of going to the movies is about being together and having a shared experience.
Part of the enjoyment of it is you have given yourself up to whatever the filmmaker and filmmakers have created for you with other people. Your responses are also going to be similar to the people near you, or they're going to be different, and that's going to help you place yourself in the world.
Like, why am I laughing when nobody else is? And maybe for now, that's what a lot of us are hoping for when we go to the movies, just to get back into the world and share normal reactions with other people. And back at the Nighthawk Theater, our tiny 9-year-old birthday queen, Madison Cuevas, was doing just that with her dad, Raymond. She was getting ready to watch a scary movie.
Okay, movie. I saw the trailer. Made me jump scare a little. Hope I don't have a heart attack.
Mostly, she was just worried about her dad not falling asleep, like he normally does when they go to the movie.
Just try to fall asleep during The Conjuring. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Jamila Huxtable with help from Marcia Caldwell. It was fact-checked by Michael Ha. The Indicator's edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.
An internal investigation found that a cop with the California Highway Patrol sexually harassed 21 women. But those findings were kept secret until a new state transparency law passed. We dug through hours of tapes to find out what happens to officers who cross the line. Listen to On Our Watch, a podcast from NPR and KQED.